Good morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. I just made some notes because I can't memorize everything I want to say. Anyways, about three weeks ago, Andrew shared at church, and he asked a question, why did Jesus come? Andrew gave a couple reasons, and I'm going to talk a little more on that today. Okay? So, about 2,000 years ago, it's almost exactly 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to earth. He came to save us from our sins. So that's the first part. So I'm just going to look at Colossians 1:13. So Jesus came, first of all, to save us from our sins. Colossians 1:13. It says, he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. So if we think about it, all of us here, we were bound for hell and destruction. But the Lord forgave us. He forgave our sins and with his precious blood, and he reconciled us to himself. So that's the first part. But if we think about it, imagine after we were saved, if God just left us to our own devices and basically said, okay, you guys live a holy life and you guys figure it out, how long would it be, you know, before we committed a sinful act? How long would it be before we would, you know, say a word that would be unkind or hurtful? How long would it be before we'd actually think a thought that was wrong? So God also thought of that. The salvation he gave us was not only forgiving us for our sins, he also decided he was going to do more than that. God decided, he said, I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to enable them that they can live an overcoming life. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. So God said, not only will I'll forgive them. In Galatians 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So God had said, hey, I'm not only going to forgive them, I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to live out my perfect life through them so they can overcome. But there was more than that. There was much more. God also said, my power gives them everything they need for life and godliness. So I'm going to give them my great and magnificent promises, hundreds or thousands of promises. I didn't count how many, but there's hundreds of promises in the Bible. I'm going to give them all of my magnificent promises so that they can share in my divine nature. So that's also what God said. So the question is this, is there anything more God could have done for us in this great salvation that he accomplished when he came to earth 2,000 years ago? And it's very exciting because there's actually more. There's actually more than all that. He saved us. He can live his life out through us and gave us all his promises and his grace, but there was more than that. So I'm gonna be reading a lot from Ephesians, mostly around chapter 1 and 2. So I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And what I'll do is I'm going to read actually from Ephesians 1. And I'm going to read from verse 3 to 11, and then I'll just share a little bit about it. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. And I'll stop there for a second, but God had a purpose, and it says here, it was even before he made the world, that he would actually have sons and daughters. So it's before he even made the world, it said he predestined us to adoption as sons. Imagine that we can be sons and daughters of the Most High God. God actually figured that out. It said he predestined it. He determined beforehand what he was going to do. He said to himself, I want sons and daughters, and he created the world so that he could have sons and daughters and a relationship with the sons and daughters. That was an amazing thing to me. And not only that, let's look at verse 10 and 11. Verse 11, it says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works all things after his will." God has given us an inheritance. And an inheritance typically is for parents, and they put stuff aside for their children. Well, God has done the same for us. We have an amazing inheritance in Christ. And I just wanted to today take a few minutes to talk a little bit about what is this inheritance that we have in Christ. What does it look like? What does this inheritance do for us? So again, verse 11 said, "We have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose." So I'm going to take a look at that. And we actually see a lot of points for this inheritance in the verses that I just read. For example, in verse 3, it says, "God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. That's part of the inheritance. God has made every provision for life and godliness for knowing Christ. Everything we need to know God, God has provided for us. God has basically said we can be the new race of people, to be like God in righteousness according to the image of God. We will inherit everything God has promised, everything and everything he has provided through Christ. We can become new creations in Christ. It's an amazing thing. And we'll inherit the new heavens and the new earth. I'm gonna go down to 1 Peter chapter 1. This inheritance we have in Christ will not disappear. It's actually there. God has given it to us, and it's there forever. So 1 Peter chapter 1, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. It's reserved in heaven for you." So this inheritance God has for us, it'll never disappear. It's there for us. And it says it's reserved in heaven for us. God also, to be even more clear than that, I'm going to go back to Ephesians, but God has sealed or promised this inheritance to us. So I'm going to go back to Ephesians chapter 1. It says in Ephesians 1 verse 13, "You also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." So God, to guarantee this inheritance, he says, I'm giving you this inheritance and it's been given, but he's given us the Holy Spirit, which is like a pledge of the inheritance. It's almost like it's a down payment. It's like, hey, I'm giving this to you ahead. This is part of your inheritance. You have the Holy Spirit. And that's an amazing thing. But there's one particular point of this inheritance I wanted to focus on that really stood out to me. And that is sonship. Verse 5, "He predestined us to adoption as sons." The Lord didn't just make the world so that we could be saved and we could serve him, but the Lord wanted sons and daughters. And to me, it's an amazing thing if we think about the God of heaven desires a close relationship with us, just like you would have with your own father. That's what the Lord desires. So the question would be, how do we enter this relationship with the father to the children? And I'm going to just read a couple verses. So John chapter 1. How do we enter this relationship into the father-son relationship the Lord wants with us? So John chapter 1, verse 12. It says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." When we believe in the name of Jesus, it says here, we become children of God. So we enter this relationship by believing into the name of Jesus. And when that happens, we're spiritually born again, and we can start off this new relationship we have with God as our Father. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read a verse from Jeremiah 31. This relationship we have with God is a love relationship. It's not a relationship where God just gives us hundreds and thousands of rules and says, you do these things because I'm the master. It's a father-son relationship, but it's a love relationship. Jeremiah 31, verse 3, it says, "The Lord appeared to him from afar and said, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness.'" The Lord wants this love relationship with us. He wants this father-son relationship. He's drawn us with love, and he desires to have this love relationship with us as his children. I'm going to read a verse, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to see it again there. First John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be children, we would be called children of God, and such we are." So we see it again. The fact that God has called us to be his children proves what a great love he has for us. This love relationship we have with God is the new relationship we have with God. Remember the prodigal son? Remember the father of the prodigal son? When the son repented and he turned and he decided to go back to the father was running to meet him. The father lifted up his robes and ran to meet the son. That gives us a picture of the love, this love relationship God wants to have with us. And people who don't know God that way will basically say, "I knew you to be a hard master, demanding all these things." That's the attitude if you don't know God in this way as a father-son relationship. That's what some people might think, but that's not our God at all. God desires to have this close relationship with us. So the question is this: knowing that we're God's children and he's our father and he desires this close love relationship with us, what is our response? What should our response be to that? And this is kind of the thing that I had really been pondering the last few days. It's really simple. It's Daddy. Abba Father. Abba Father means Daddy. And it's a cry that we can have to God as our Father. We have the possibility of unimagined intimacy with God here in this life. In any other religion, Abba, Father, you can't even say that about God in any other religion because it's a different relationship. In this, what God wants for us is to have this type of relationship with him where we can say, "Abba, Father," we can call out to him as our daddy and have that close relationship with him. I'm going to read a couple of verses that talk about that, starting in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. It says in Galatians 4, verse 4, "When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman born under the law." And by the way, the fullness of time, to me, probably means the time when Jesus came back to the earth, right? So about 2,000 years ago, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son. So that's the time it's talking about, okay, about 2,000 years ago. "So that he might redeem those who were under the law." Why? He didn't just redeem us so we could go out and live our own lives. He had a purpose for redeeming us. And what is the purpose it says here? In verse, it says, "So that we might receive the adoption as sons." That's why God redeemed us, so we could be adopted as his children. Verse 6, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" So there's a heart cry God puts in our heart, calling out to him, Daddy. And the Lord wants us to learn to have that type of relationship with him. Let's look at also Romans chapter 8. We're going to similar verse in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verses 14 to 17. So Romans 8, verse 14. "All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, we're heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we can also be glorified with him." It says here that we're saved. We're no longer slaves to fear. Andrew Penner had shared a few weeks ago that we're also set free from the fear of death. And here it says the Lord, we don't have a spirit of slavery leading to fear. But we're adopted as sons. And we can cry out to God, Abba, Father. We can cry out to him, Daddy. The Lord wants us to have that relationship with him. And it says also here that we're heirs of God and of Christ for that amazing inheritance we have in Christ. The question is, have we seen that yet? Being able to cry out, Daddy, to God really, really spoke to me. To me, that's the best part of being a son. Like if I'm a small child, a small child can just cry out, Daddy, and the Father, Daddy will help. Well, think about this. Our Daddy in heaven, he's always there. He's never gone to work when he can't hear his kids cry, right? He's never outside doing some yard work and the kids crying, Daddy, inside the house. Our Father's always there. He always hears. And he's perfect in every response he has to us. He desires our absolute good, and he desires us to grow in this love relationship he desires to have with us. We can come into his presence, into our Daddy's presence immediately. Imagine that. We can come to his presence immediately, and he'll hear us. We don't have to carry these burdens anymore for whatever we're burdened with. We might be burdened with different sins we can't overcome. We might be burdened with problems in life that we can't solve. We might be burdened with cares and concerns for people we love. We don't have to carry these. We can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, help me with these things. And he's right there, and he desires us to do that. In fact, I'm just going to quickly look at Psalm 131. We can have the same attitude that David had in Psalm 131. David, I think, saw this part of the relationship with God. David saw that you can have this type of relationship with God, and God wants us to have the same type with him, that we can just see him as our Father, we can call out to him, Daddy, help me, and we can grow in love for him. Psalm 131, David had said, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor are my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. David here learned that he didn't have to figure out all the complex problems of life himself. And think about this. David was king of Israel, ruling, you know, hundreds of thousands of people with thousands of complex problems that would have had to be dealt with, not far greater than any of our problems yet. He knew that he could just go to God and say, Lord, I have no idea how to, I don't even care about trying to figure this out. I'm just going to throw myself on you and let you figure it out. And I really like that. So anyways, to summarize, this Christmas, and as we head into the new year, you know, I think we need to ask God to show us this amazing inheritance we have in him. That we have a Father who loves us with an everlasting love. That every spiritual blessing is ours in Christ. If we see and understand this, I think we're going to see things differently. Things that we once thought gain in our life will become unimportant. Right? I think we'll be like the man who had just found the treasure in the field, and with great joy over it, he sells everything he has to obtain the most valuable treasure that he found. And that's actually what God says. We need to see God as this great treasure, and we need to value this relationship with God, value this father-son relationship. So what I want to do is just close off in Ephesians chapter 1 again. Ephesians 1 and verse 15 to 19. So there's a prayer here Paul has in Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. But to me, this is also a call to action with what the Lord wants, how he wants us to respond. So I'm going to read the verses, Ephesians 1, 15 to 19. And Paul says, and this is a prayer he has to God. He says, for this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus that exists among you and your love for all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you, but making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, so you will know what is the hope of his calling. The Lord wants us to know in a deeper way, what is this hope we have in him? What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And there's the word inheritance. The Lord wants us to know what are the riches in this inheritance he has for us. We need to know it more than we do. Verse 19, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? The Lord wants us to know even deeper, what is this greatness of his power to us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. So that's for me, as I move into the next year, I'm going to be praying, Lord, open my eyes so that I can know the amazing inheritance I have in you. Lord, that I can know the power that's available in you, and that I can know you more as my Heavenly Father and reach out to you and say, Abba, Father, Daddy. So I pray that we would all seek to know God more in that way as we move into this next year.